Item 9, Mark Eubank. Have you noticed how quickly the meeting's going with only 5 members? You might consider that in the future.
I'm thinking maybe we ought to take note of who's not here.
Yeah. Mike.
Good morning again. Mr. Mark Eubank is requesting after-the-fact authorization to retain a vinyl groin extending 50 feet channel to mean low water along the Chesapeake Bay at 4 Sweet Gum Drive in Matthews County. Location of the project is on Glen Island, circled in red, in Matthews County again. This is an aerial of Gwynn's Island itself. This is the western side of the eastern side of Gwynn's Island, facing out into Chesapeake Bay. And this is marking the groin in question. As you can see, the groin is an established groin field. And extends from a riprap revetment above the beach area. This is a plan view drawing, again showing the groin extending from the riprap revetment, and will extend 50 feet channelward with mean low water. Here's a cross section of the proposed groin. At the terminus end, it'll be approximately 24 inches above the substrate, and still be below mean low water. This is a ground shot showing the groin after it's been partially installed. As soon as the contractor found out that a permit was required, he stopped work on the project at that point. That's why he sees the terminus end of the groin still not finished. So the ground shot looking up towards the riprap revetment and the groin extending from that. The contractor contacted Matthews County staff to request some information as to whether or not a permit was required just to replace the sheeting of the groin itself. After conferring with DMRC staff, it was decided that was repair work and did not need a permit for either a subaqueous permit or beach and dune permit from Matthews County. Once the contractor started work on the groin replacing the sheeting, we realized that more work was needed and we needed to start replacing piles. And we didn't think at that point that a permit was required, but actually that starts to constitute replacement of the groin itself, and we started replacing the actual pilings. So Matthews County staff was alerted by an adjacent property owner that they were indeed replacing the entire groin out there. And once the site inspection was completed by Matthews County and myself, it was determined that a permit was required and asked Mr. Callis to stop work on the project, which he did. And he then submitted a joint permit application to VMRC. Mr. Callis has accepted full responsibility for not obtaining necessary permits for the project and indicated the applicant was unaware of the permit requirements. Had the applicant submitted an application to replace the groin prior to commencing the work, staff believes we would have likely administratively approved the project. As such, we believe the after-the-fact request is reasonable, but that the commission should consider accepting a civil charge in lieu of further enforcement action. Referring to the guidelines for civil charge assessments adopted by this commission, staff believes that the impact of the project is minimal due to the small amount of encroachment and minor effect on natural resources associated with the replacement of a groin in an established groin field. Staff considers the degree of deviation or noncompliance to be major, however, due to the experience of the contractor and his understanding for the need of permits from VMRC for structures involving encroachment over subaqueous bottom. Therefore, referencing the guidance, staff believes a civil charge in the amount of $3,000 is appropriate. Additionally, 28.2-1206B of the Code of Virginia allows for the imposition of triple permit fees for work that has commenced at the time of application. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project with the assessment of a triple permit fee in the amount of $75 and conditioned upon the contractor's agreement to pay a civil charge in the amount of $3,000 in lieu of further enforcement action. I'm glad to answer any questions you have.
Any questions of Mike? Okay. Seeing none, is Mr. Eubank present? And Mr. Callis? All right. I assume you wish to be heard?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You swear the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Please state your name for the record.
Richard Callis.
And you're the contractor?
Yes, sir. We did get a permit to rebuild the jetty. Once we got into the rebuild, we discovered that it was pretty well destroyed, with the exception of maybe reusing the piling, which is what we still plan to do. And so technically, I guess we did rebuild the jetty, but we were fully intending on doing the, we put a new jetty in, if you will, but we weren't fully intending on rebuilding the jetty. That's where the whole thing got started. The county did issue a building permit, and the county has issued a wetlands permit on the after-the-fact situation. I think the, well, the main reason I'm here, of course, is the cost of civil penalties. I think it's a little bit right much under this situation. And I neglected everything, and I'm not even attempting to do what we should have done, but now we have, I can understand it, but we did at least try to get it right, and we still are trying to get it right. And, of course, that's Johnson, too. I am experienced with the work now, because we put the old one in 40 yard years ago. So now, my main objection, indeed, is the cost to have to, the cost of it.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Callis? Mr. Eubank, do you wish to be heard?
I'm here to answer any questions you may have, sir.
All right.
I don't really have anything to add.
All right.
This was, he hired me to do this project, so he's not, including the permit applications and whatnot, so really, that's where he stands. He hired me to do it. He's not.
I guess if you could speak more to, you know, the staff indicates that you have quite a bit of experience as a contractor and that you have some understanding of a need to have a permit, but
yes, sir.
I mean, what happened that in this case you didn't get the permit?
As I said, I got the rebuild permit.
You got a permit to?
To rebuild it, too.
From who?
The county.
From the county?
Yes, sir. I have the building permits and whatnot from the county to rebuild repair the jetty.
Okay.
Which is what we intended to do. And as I started taking the old jetty out, I realized that the timbers that supported it, for example, had deteriorated way beyond reuse. And we had fully intended on putting in new sheeting anyhow, which is what we did. And we took out the old piling then because we intended on simply flipping them upside down and reusing them. And they worked good through a pole, so they last probably as long as they already had. But the issue here is staff, whomever, figures that I have completely rebuilt, and technically I guess I have completely rebuilt, but I am intending on using the old piling back in, which would be a portion of the rebuild, none of the new, completely new jetty.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Callis?
Did you extend the structure and air? Is it the same size?
Identical, same place, everything is pretty wet. The redwood, yes, sir. Identical. And there are, of course, he showed you on the screen there, numbers of jetties, the groin system, if you will, jetty system, in the area in both directions. This one.
Any other? Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a follow-up question for staff. If we could just review the footprint again, if you don't mind walking through what modifications there were versus what was permitted.
I don't have any specific measurements on the old groin. It was taken out before I had a chance to do any site measurements, but looking at aerials and trying to do rough measurements from aerial GIS, it looks to be approximately the same encroachment channelward. It's not extending any further channelward than any of the existing structures out here now. So.
Mike, you're describing this as a major degree of deviation or noncompliance. And the range of civil penalties can be from zero to 10,000, correct? Now, I guess I'm having trouble understanding the major degree. Let me ask this. If he had put the groin in a different location or had extended it, you know, well beyond the prior location, that would, to me, would obviously be a major degree of, but does that just simply result in an elevation beyond the 3,000 or?
Well, there's two parts to the matrix. There's the environmental impact, which we don't see. The encroachment is minimal. It didn't encroach any further. The impacts, I think, are minimal. I think the major part comes from the fact that Mr. Callis has been assessed civil charges by this commission before, speaking with other members of staff. So I feel like he understood the need to at least, you know, he's going to do more than he originally talked to us about in terms of just replacing the sheeting. Then he should at least approach us to make sure what the requirements were for a permit.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Has any of what he has done there damaged the environment?
No, sir. That's why we're saying that the environmental impact is minimal. We don't think.
I guess what I'm struggling with is penalizing a $3,000 fine. Am I correct? There is a $3,000 fine.
The recommendation of staff, yes.
Yeah, I'm concerned about penalizing a $3,000 fine if we've not hurt the environment and he did what he thought was in the best judgment of what he did. So I'm concerned about that.
We're just following the guidance that the commission set.
Tony, you want to speak to that?
Follow up on that with Mike and see Mr. Fox. Maybe Greg can make a comment, but I'll refer you to our guidance for civil charge assessments that's in your packet. You recall last year or so ago, we went back and re-evaluated the matrix of assessing civil charges. We've maintained the two criteria of environmental impact and degree of deviation from the permit process. And we agree, certainly, that the impact here is minimal from an environmental standpoint. But when you look at the degree of deviation or noncompliance, the matrix, we provided some guidance in the civil charge assessment matrix for what we would consider minor deviation, moderate deviation, and major deviation. And I'll just read you the major, and then I'll read you the minor. The major deviation is large amount of deviation or noncompliance relative to authorized structures or requirements. Second, evidence that applicant contractor knew or ignored that permits were required and should have known a permit was required and no other permits issued. Moderate, in this case, for deviation would read some deviation or noncompliance. Evidence that factors ignored by applicant contractor that a permit should have been required or should have knowledge a permit was required. And third, and the moderate category, received some permits, but not all. Now, in this case, we focus mostly on the evidence that applicant knew, should have known, permits were required. And given Mr. Callis's knowledge in the contracting business, we came down on the major side of that decision in that matrix. But certainly, that's where I think you could look to a decision with regard to the amount of deviation.
Mr. Fox?
I guess I'm looking at the matrix as well, and it seems to me that the deviation of the environmental impact is not, the environmental impact relative to what was there before is not minimal. It's closer to zero. There's no change. And so I see that as maybe being, as even minor, as being excessive. And in terms of the degree of deviation, I think the problem came when Mr. Callis realized that he had to replace piling or flip piling, and he didn't say something at that time. And that was in the heat of the action, if you will. He was there with his equipment, working the equipment, and so I would think that his responsibility at that stage, given his experience, would be a telephone call at least, which I understand he did not make. So I guess I'm not in the major school. I may be in the moderate school, but I'm somewhat less than minimal. So
where would that put you in a monetary sense?
$1,500 to $2,000, somewhere in that range.
Other comments? Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Fox makes some good points, as my other colleagues have. And I think in this instance, the environmental impact is very low. And at the same time, we have a very experienced contractor that, I think the point here is that if a contractor is going to depart from what's been authorized in a permit or in some other authorization, if it's an NPN from the commission, whatever that form is, if there's going to be a departure from that, there has to be notification to the commission if there's going to be any additional work done or any change from what was previously permitted. So I think some civil charge is appropriate, but I'm thinking given the very, very minimal impact environmentally, I think I'd be comfortable with the $1,000 level. And I would offer that, if there's no further comment, I would offer that as a motion that we approve the project and include a $1,000 civil charge.
Triple permit fees.
And triple permit fees. Thank you.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Fox. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. That was triple permit fees and $1,000 civil fees.
Thank you.
Thank you.